I don't know what happened, somewhere I would open my thing up one day, and I must have hit a wrong button and erased everything for going in that year, except for one or two churches, and then it took care of everything for 2000, but I left 2020, and then 2022 in there, so, or, you know, so I have no idea what happened, you know.
So what I do is, like, when Pastor has the deacons preach, I just go back to one of your early ones, and then everybody's like, that's one of the greatest messages on the podcast.
That, you know what, brother, that will work, and I know a preacher that does that, amen, me. But tonight, I'm not sure, but if you've heard this before, then evidently you must need it tonight. I need it as I was studying it today and going over it, and I studied for a while today, and then I folded up my notes and put up my Bible, closed my Bible. My wife was talking to me, she said, what are you going to do now? I said, well, I'm going to study the rest of my notes on the back of my eyelids, amen. And I did, because I got another thought while I was laying there, and with my eyes closed on the bed, I was laying there, and I woke up, and I shut my alarm off. Well, I shut it off, when I finally came downstairs, my alarm went off at 5 o'clock, but I was already up, you know, and I thought, well, let me see what I can do with this tonight. Matthew chapter 16, I have a lot of messages out of this text that I have used before, I'll let you know ahead of time, but I got a thought tonight on this, and he says in Matthew 16 and verse 13, he says this, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Then he says this, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, Peter is not the rock that he is talking about there, amen. He's talking about himself. And Peter's name literally means a stone, or sometimes some would say a pebble patch, but I think a stone. But Jesus Christ said he is the rock himself. He's the rock. And that's what he's going to build his church in. And I'd like to preach a message. We just came through the 4th of July here recently, and I love the 4th of July, not because of the fireworks. They're okay, you know, it's not my thing. And we were at my son-in-law's house, and the grandkids and my wife and somebody else were there, and they all went over to the corner where they could look past the tree between the house and the tree and look over. Here's a lake for you. Devil's Lake is the name of the lake. Amen. And their church, if you look at their church, and the road comes this way, and if you cross the road, you go into their church parking lot. But that's where Devil's Road ends, at their parking lot, you know. So praise the Lord. I said, you should just name this Devil Baptist Church. But you sit there, and you can see them shooting up the fireworks over the lake. And I just sat there. I didn't even go over and look at them. I've seen it so many in my life. But you know why I get excited about the 4th of July? It makes me think of patriotism.
Okay. Yeah.
And boy, have we lost that in our country today. Amen. We have lost that today. But I'd like to speak to you on the thought of patriotism tonight for a few moments. Let me give you a few statistics real quick before I get into the message. A person who loves his country and zealously supports and defends it and its interests would be called a what? A patriot. U.S. traffic fatalities, I wrote this down. More people have died in traffic accidents since Americans began using automobiles than in all the wars the USA ever fought. Can you imagine that? Between 1900 and 1930, more people were killed and injured celebrating Independence Day than in the War of Independence itself. Wow. Between that 30-year period. The Pledge of Allegiance, probably the most, they say the third most sometimes, but the most celebrated thing that we would use in our country, I believe, other than our song, you know, for our country, national anthem, of the patriotic acts behind saluting the flag and singing the anthem, and it had its beginning back in 1892. Not like you might think in the War of Independence, but in 1892. President Benjamin Harrison called for patriotic exercises in the schools to mark the 400th anniversary of the discovery of America. A pledge written by Francis Bellamy, many people know that, of Boston, for the Youth's Companion was adopted for the purpose, and school children across the nation began to pledge their allegiance to the flag, and it became a national tradition. How many of you remember that when you were in school as a kid? I don't know if schools even do that anymore, you know. I can remember when I was in third grade, we had a teacher. Now, when you came third, fourth, fifth grade, I had teachers, and when you came into their class, you said the Pledge of Allegiance every morning, and you stood there, and you bowed your head as she recited the Lord's Prayer. I thought that was pretty good. You won't see that anymore, will you? It's not going to happen in a day. But listen, it became a national tradition. After World War I, the National Flag Conference of America, the American Legion, expanded on the original wording, and in 1942, Congress made the pledge part of its code for use of the flag, and as late as 1954, expanded the wording to include under God.
Amen.
Hmm. They won't take that out today, amen. Of course, Independence Day is our major day of patriotism. It was celebrated first in Philadelphia on July 8, 1776, and in succeeding years it was celebrated on July 4th, the date of the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. Now, I'd like to give you this thought for just a few moments on patriotism tonight. We need patriots in the local church. Amen? We need patriots in the local church. So the first thought I have here is number one, support. The church, he builds the church, Matthew 16:18, we just saw that, the body of Christ, but we need to support the local church, number one, in attendance. In attendance. Amen? Well, I tell you, I commend you, brother. I know why you work and you come back and some of you retire and do other things, but to drive an hour for church and then to drive home for church at night afterwards, amen? So now you can't skip out this week. I just made a nice statement about you, amen. Just saying, I'm just trying. I'm just trying to help the meeting here, amen. So I'm not just messing with you. I say, you know, that's quite a thing. But that ought to be all of us, regardless how far or how close we ought to want to be in the local church. And I understand, and you understand, Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the gathering of yourselves, the Bible says, as a manner of some is, amen, or the same would forsake gathering together. And probably when that was written, and I know I've said this here before, probably when that was written, if anybody had an excuse not to gather together, it might have been the early church because of the persecution and people that were being put to death because they loved the Lord. But we don't have persecution like that in our country. You might have that in some. You have it today in some parts of India. You have it today in some parts of Africa that you can't even get into. Missionaries have come back from the last few years because it's a closed country now. And Burma used to be wide open. Now it's closed again. It was open, closed, open, closed, open, closed. Now it's closed again. You know, one thing after another. And so those Christians, those people there who are Christians, they're meeting, and in China, they're meeting underground, although not underground, but underground churches, otherwise they're hidden. People don't know where they're at or who they are. And they'll go to jail for what they believe. But it hasn't stopped many of them from going to church. In some places, they don't have the Bible, and they will pass. I think it was somewhere in Africa one night. They passed it. They only had one page of the Bible. And they passed that one page around, and everybody memorized what was on that page. Can you imagine that? But that was the Word of God to them. And they knew they were saved and knew how to lead other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were faithful in attendance. Now, I'm not, if you're sick, my friend, you need to stay home, amen. Don't pass it on to everybody else that's in the house of God. Don't take me wrong on this, pastor, amen. And don't take me wrong if you just have a sniffly nose. My nose runs. and it's hard for me to catch it because I can't move that fast anymore. My nose runs all the time anymore. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. Sometimes I smack it, sometimes it gets worse. I'm just saying. But we need to be faithful in attendance as believers in Jesus Christ. No matter what is happening around us, we ought to want to be in the house of God. I can just count less than a handful of times in the 46 years of ministry, probably where I have missed church, other than for being sick, because of a situation or something that came up. One time we were traveling and broke down, and I couldn't get where I was going. And there was the pastor, I want to tell you, I called around looking for a good church. There was not a church in the area that I could attend. So we just sat around the house and read our Bible. That's all we could do that day. And I don't like that, because I think we ought to be in church, amen. And I think I ought to be in church. And if I could preach to you that you ought to be in church, then guess where I should be? I should be where? Your church, amen. Well, we need to support the church in attendance. We need to support the church in prayer. You just read Ephesians in chapter 6, Pastor. Let's go back there to Ephesians in chapter 6 just for a moment. And we're not going to be in Matthew chapter 16 anymore. Just use it for a jump text tonight on patriotism, that he is building his church, and we have to be a supporter of his church. We have to be a supporter not just in church and attendance, but we have to be a supporter in prayer as believers in Jesus Christ. In chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the what? In the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for who? For all saints. But we ought to be praying for one another. One another. When Pastor told me this morning what happened to that young lady, I didn't know she had died yet, I texted my wife immediately. I said, pray for Emily. I told her what happened real quick, and she said, we're praying. And they stopped right then, and they prayed, and then they prayed throughout the day. Amen. And I've been praying throughout the day, and then found out now that she has passed away. And that's got to be so sad on that family. You know, well, can you imagine that as your child? Maybe you have lost a child like that. I'm not downplaying that. I'm saying, isn't that a sad thing to happen like that? A 19 years old, I believe, 19-year-old young lady that has lost her life by being hit by a car. You know, boy, and, you know, and Pastor, I know I get in trouble all the time, and if this is on Facebook, you're probably gonna get some phone calls or Facebook things. But I think you and I think we're on the same page on this. But I tell you what, there's many Baptists that aren't saved, and many Mennonites that are.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a tragedy, and you know what? I look at them, they might not be the same stripe, they not might be, you know, Pastor, I'm Baptist, I am Baptist to the bone, amen. I am not kidding you. Curtis Hudson used to say, Baptist born, Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Well, I wasn't Baptist born, and I wasn't Baptist bred, but when I die, I'm Baptist dead. I'm so Baptist, amen. What can I say about that? I'm just saved, but they're brothers and sisters. My prayer is this. I pray that she knew Jesus Christ as her Savior. I didn't know her. You didn't know her. Did you know her, Dave? You didn't know her. But I pray that she knew Jesus Christ. I hope. That's my hope for her. And we can't pray her into heaven, but boy, we sure ought to pray for one another and for the saints. Regardless of who they are, regardless of what stripe they are, and rather than beat them up and condemn them and throw them down the toilet and flush them on them, we ought to be praying for them, amen. But now you're going to get the calls, Pastor. I'm just saying, amen. You're going to get the texts. Just beware, just be ready, because you know how some of our brethren think, amen, and I do too. And if I say things like that, they usually won't be back. But Pastor, thank you for having me. If you never have me again, I understand, amen. But the church, He builds a church in attendance. He builds a church with prayer. And then he builds a church with giving. I'm not going to preach a message on tithe tonight, but I got to mention this. If you're a born-again believer, saved by the grace of God, then there's some things in your life that where obedience begins. And the first act of obedience is what? Baptism. And you're getting baptized, Brother Dale, on Friday night in the lake. And I was telling my wife about that. She said, I wish I was there. I said, well, drive on out here. Yeah. She won't drive that car anymore, let me tell you. And so, you know, I'm just saying, that to me, that's exciting. But that's where it begins. And then you have other acts of obedience. The next act of obedience would be getting straight in some things in your life. And I don't know how you do it, Pastor. Some people bring people into the church membership with baptism. And that was used to be my thinking. I think I've changed a little bit on some of that. But after you're baptized and get involved and start serving and come to the point where you'll join the local church. Amen? That's what we ought to do, then join the church. And then as you're getting active and you're getting involved, tithe. And tithe is not what you have left over at the end of the week or at the end of the month. Tithe is what comes off the beginning of those things. So when I get my Social Security check, I have a thing in my phone and my iPad where I go down and I write how much my tithe will be. And then when I get an offering, I write down how much my tithe will be. And then when I get my next offering, I write down how much my tithe will be. And then when my at the end of the month or beginning of the next month, I take all of that and I tally it up and I send a check to my church for tithe. I go to the bank, as a matter of fact, and I get a cashier's check because I don't write checks anymore, Brother. I got a checkbook at home. I haven't touched that thing, and I couldn't tell you the last time I touched my checkbook. I just go to the bank and get a cashier's check. And then they sometimes they charge me a little bit for it. Most of the time they don't charge me anything for it. It depends on what lady's behind the counter wants to make more money for the bank. I found that out, amen. They don't have to charge you anything for that. That's their choice, you know. But I have a couple of young ladies that are like me, and I joke with them all the time, and I think that's why they like me, you know. And I give them the gospel, and I talk to them. And what's funny is when you show them your track, and they're at a bank, and you show them the track where from prison to the pulpit, they just sort of... I think they're waiting for the gun to come out, amen. No, I'm not here to rob you. I'm here to steal your soul for Jesus Christ, amen. I tell you what, my friend, but in giving, Matthew 23:23, what he said to you and I there, he says, he scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, ye pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, yet ye have forgotten the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. That's matters of the heart. He said, these ought you to have done, and the other, that's the wallet, would be, that you would not forget. So he said, matters of the heart, justice, mercy, faith, and don't, he said, this is where your focus should be, amen. And if it's right there, then the other will be done, the rest will be finished. That's the tithe, that's the giving. And boy, our heart ought to be in that relationship. But you need to support the church in attendance, in prayer, in giving. I like the story of John Hancock. And John Hancock was the president of the Continental Congress, which passed the Declaration of Independence. He signed his name with such large script. Remember when they say, sign your John Hancock? And he signed it real big, real big. And this is what he said. He said, in order that King George III could read it without his spectacles. That's what he said. You know, I wanted to read it and know that I signed it, and not even have to put on his glasses. That's bold, amen. I said, praise the Lord. Hancock was one of the few millionaires, and today we have many, 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 many millionaires in our country, amen. But he was just one of the few millionaires in his day at that time. He had inherited a large estate from his uncle. When Washington was planning his attack on Boston, Hancock said to him, nearly all the property I have in the world is in houses and real estate in Boston. But if the expulsion of the enemy troops requires that these houses be burnt to ashes, you issue that order immediately. He would have lost everything he had. Amen. Why? Why? Because he was a patriot. I got some churches I've been involved with, and one specific I can think of, I won't tell you where it's at, but I've not seen a church do things like this in a long time. When they moved into a rental place and they were in a two-storefront, so they remodeled all that for a church. They paid cash for everything. his first Thursday night in that building, they had 69 people out. You know, and they haven't delved under that since, I don't think, amen. And on a Thursday night prayer meeting. And then they found a building and a piece of property a year later, an old factory, I think it was a window factory, an old factory and a piece of property, a nice piece of property. And they dickered with the people who they wanted to buy it off of, and they finally got the land squared off the way they wanted it squared off for their building for that. And they took and they moved in there. Well, they paid $119,000 or $124,000 for it, the property and the building. There are two buildings there, and paid cash in 1 year. Paid cash, and they had what they called a give it all Sunday. Wow. And so what the promotion was whatever you get paid this week is what you put in the offering. And I know the brother personally, and he sold his Harley Davidson motorcycle and gave the money to the church. He himself sold his Harley Davidson motorcycle and gave the money to the church. Just gave. And then they built a gymnasium, and that gymnasium would have cost them close to, I think they paid almost $400,000. 10 years later, pay cash. Can you imagine that? A couple years ago, they took me on for support. And the year they took me on for support, they sent every missionary. That way, what happened was, let me back up to say, what they did was that year in their giving, that year in their missions conference, this just blows my mind, this church in their general fund had over $100,000 in the general fund. God is blessed and blessed and blessed. So the pastor said, I want to take $100,000 out of the general fund and I want to put it in missionaries. And we're going to start supporting these other missionaries. And he said they're going to send every missionary that we support for a bonus for the year, a year's support on top of that. And they took me on for $100 a month, and they sent me a check for $1,200 at the same time. What a blessing. What a blessing. And now, you can't do that because you don't have that. But you can sure do for the Lord what he wants to do. Amen? That's the whole crux of it. That's the whole thought of it. So we need to support the church membership. You can't support something if you do not belong to it, amen. You cannot belong to the local church if you do not belong to the body of Christ. You cannot belong to the body of Christ if you do not trust in Christ as your personal Savior. Just that simple. Just that simple. And then the second thought, number one, remember as we look at this, was a supporter. Number two is a defender. Defense. A defender of the local church. When Bible college, when you went to Bible college, they're only a month, brother, a month and a half before I found out some things that, I think I told you before what was going on, and I said, I'm not subjecting my family to this, and we left and went back north, and so my Bible college was literally my local church, we were in the Bible. But a course that you would take in a Bible college, usually first, maybe second year, apologetics. Am I correct about that? First or second year, somewhere around there, you're going to take the course of apologetics. And apologetics does not mean that you go around saying, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. That's not what it means, amen. Apologetics means a defense of the faith. Defense of the faith. Now, God will defend his church, amen. And God will defend you, and God will take it to the defense of the faith that we ought to stand up and not be afraid as a believer in Jesus Christ to say what is right and say what is wrong. So I've got just a few thoughts here. We need to defend the church. Someone says something bad about your church in a negative manner. Ask them the reason for their answer. Ask them what they're saying. Ask them why they're saying that. And a lot of times they say, well, here's what I heard before. Well, so-and-so goes to that church. Yeah, well, what's that got to do with the church? Amen. What's that got to do with the pastor? What's that got to do with the preaching? What's it got? Nothing. Amen. And don't be afraid to tell them if they're wrong. I've had people, I've knocked doors, pastor, I've knocked thousands of doors over the years, and I can't do it like I could. I can't hardly walk anymore, you know, but knock doors like crazy. And I had, I remember one time I had a guy come to the door, and he said, do you, by any chance, you attend church anywhere in the area, sir? I told him who I was, and I told him who I was. In fact, I even gave him the name of the church. And he said, I attend church. I said, well, where do you attend church? Two blocks down on the left-hand side. I said, really? That's where I was at. And that's the name of the church I gave him. But he didn't know what church it was. So I said, oh, what's your pastor's name? I can't remember, you know. So, you know, but yet he was negative about the church. But he didn't know the church. So why? So I said, you know, you know, here's the name of that church. And he just looked at me. As I told you earlier, I said, but that's where I'm at this week. I said, and we're out talking to people about Jesus Christ. You know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? No. Would you like to know him as your personal Savior? No. And some people, it's like pulling teeth, amen, brother? But we need to defend the church. Someone says something bad about your church, don't be afraid to stand up and say that's not true. And don't be afraid to stand up and say, well, sure, things happen sometimes in the local church, but you don't know our local church. Why don't you come and see our local church and see what we have here, amen? And then we need to defend, number two, underneath that, defend the church, but we need to defend our pastors. We need to defend our pastors. And pastors get beat up all the time. My son-in-law, and I don't think they will ever hear this, my son-in-law, he's a good preacher, he's a good pastor, loves his people. And he has a character in his church, a couple characters in his church, that I don't mind putting them in their place. I'm telling you, I really don't. I'm not a member of his church, pastor. My church is 3 hours away from his, but because if I was a member there, it wouldn't be good. Amen. Not because I don't love him, not because he can't preach, but because I know the people, because I was preaching that church way before he went there. I'm the one that got there, come there as a pastor. And, you know, but he's got a guy in his church, for instance, one guy. And they put a shed out behind, they have an old schoolhouse there that was built. That church used to run a couple hundred people. And Donald, just a handful now. Although he's seen 7 people saved in the last 3 or 4 weeks, amen. So, but anyway, so behind that building, their house is here, the building is here, there's a shed behind the building, and the church is over here. And they put a nice, over here, they put a nice parking spot in, cement, electric, and water for 2 RVs to be able to park. Somebody who does music and someone who preaches, amen. And I lived in that parking lot for a long time before we bought our house. And but he had a guy in the church, says, he's out in the hallway one day, he's just ranting and raving, not mean, but well, he's mean in his own way. He said, you know, I don't understand. He was like, I don't understand why. We just couldn't have put that shed over there behind that pad where the pad is, and there's electric over there. We could have tied into that, and then it would be more accessible to everybody. And I just looked at him, I said, Wayne. And he looks at me, I said, they didn't put it over there because there's no, you can't see it from the house. And you got your, you got a $6,000 mower in there. The Zebra Pro, $6,000, professional mower. And I said, you got all this equipment in there. And he says, I could have got a fence and put around the thing. And so I said, Wayne, how come you're waiting now to open your mouth? Shut right up, boy, that was it, amen. We had just quieted it right now. And I'm not afraid to tell them, just, I would tell them, and I'm not afraid to tell them to shut up if I have to, but I'm just telling them, amen. But we need to protect the pastor. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:19, listen to this, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before 2 or 3 witnesses. Now I know, you read, if you go back to Deuteronomy, in fact, go to Deuteronomy 19, let's read that, and then I want to make a statement about this, Deuteronomy. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 19 in the Bibles. I want to show you this, what it says here in Deuteronomy in chapter 19. And I got a thought on this, and I got some of this thought today, and I've had a little bit of it before, but I want to share something with you, but Deuteronomy chapter 19, and look down with me, if you would, to verse 15. The Bible says this: "One witness shall not rise up against any man or any iniquity for any sin in any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established." Otherwise, it's got to be more than one witness. But when you go over, and they will equate what Paul says in Ephesians, they will equate that with that verse. And I don't have a problem with that, Pastor, but I read something on this. I was looking at this thought came to me. And that's good. If you're going to make an accusation against a pastor, there ought to be, or against another Christian, period, there ought to be two or three witnesses that can prove it. I'm not talking about a difference of opinion. I'm not talking about anything else. But if it's outright sin, there has to be more than one witness. Amen. But usually what happens in the church is somebody will gather two or three people around them and say, "Psst, psst, 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 come here." And then they start making complaints about the pastor. "Did you see that? What do you think about that?" And then that one gets with them. And that one gets... That's not what he's talking about. It has to be a founded thing. When I look at this text, I get to think of this. Against an elder, it's 1 Timothy 5:19. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but... What's the next word? Before. I think wording is important to me, Pastor. And I might have this wrong, but I want to make application this way. I believe they're right in what they're saying with the lining up in Deuteronomy. But I got to thinking about this. But, he says, but before two or three witnesses. So here's my thought. You got a complaint. Amen. You don't go to somebody that's going to line up with you. You go to two or three people who don't line up with you and say your complaint. It's before two or three witnesses there. Amen. I think we can go both ways with that. I think the one is accurate according to Deuteronomy 19, but or 15. But when I look at this one, Deuteronomy 19. But when I look at this one, I get the idea that we need to make sure that if something, or if somebody comes to you and says, "Dave, let me talk to you for a minute," and then you see something, you know it's going to, you say, "Oh, wait a minute, Dave, come here, wait a minute, Lonnie, come here, wait a minute, Jackie, come here for a minute," amen? Now, go ahead and say what you got to say. I think that would stop a lot of garbage in the church, amen? So I think we can make two applications in that. One is correct and one is mine. Amen. That's what I'm just saying. I think it fits good for me. And then defend the church, defend the pastor, and then we need to defend the fatherless. The Bible says in Psalm 82:3, defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. You're not talking about those that will take advantage of. Amen. I know many that would take advantage of you. I know of a preacher. I don't know him, but I know the story behind him because another pastor or another evangelist told me, or a missionary told me, because the guy was bragging. And he said, I told the pastor I'm looking for a new truck, and this is the kind of a truck I knew. And he took me out to the farmer's house who just bought a brand new truck, was a member of his church. And he said, "I saw the truck." He said, "That's the truck I want." And he said, he just kept on saying all night long, "Man, that's the truck I need. That's the kind of truck I could use. That's the kind of truck that would help me get across America to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." And the more he talked, the more that guy felt guilty. And the guy gave him that brand new truck that he just paid about $50,000 for back then. Man, you can make people feel guilty and make you think you're needy when you're not. Amen. I'll tell you what, we need to be careful. We need to do justice to the afflicted, do justice to the needy, and defend the poor and defend the fatherless. But brother, we can't let them take advantage of us. Don't let them take advantage of you. So we need to see, we support the church, we defend the church, and then we need to be loyal. a loyalist.
Amen.
A loyalist. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't give up. 1 Corinthians 10:32 says this: give none offense, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the, what? The church of God. We ought to be loyal to the church of God. Don't give offense anyway. Sometimes you can give offense to somebody like this as a member of a church. They can say, they'll see you packing up your coat on, I'm not pointing at you, Dave. I'm just saying you have a boat. You did have it anyway, but I was on it one time, you know. You thought I was going to sink it because I was so big back then. But made me sit in the middle, let me sit in the back of it because he thought I was going to.
Well, that's where Brother Merrick was.
Yeah. So, you know, this you say you're a Christian, but to see you packing up your boat Sunday morning and heading to the lake, to see you packing your bags for a picnic. Not saying you can't go on vacation, not saying you can't join. I'm not talking about that. Amen. I'm talking about that you as a believer in Jesus Christ, people are watching you and they see you and they're looking at you and they see what's going on. And you need to be loyal to the house of God as a believer in Jesus Christ. That you won't give any offense on the outside that can say this. Well, you didn't go to church Sunday. How come you invited me to church this week? You didn't go to church on Wednesday. How come you invited me to church this night tonight? You didn't go to church. I saw you guys advertised a missions conference. You were home every night for that missions conference. How come you weren't in church? But yet you're inviting me to church? It must not be important to you. Why should it be important to me? I'm just saying. That's how they see it. And then we need to help build up the church. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts. I like what you talked about in Sunday school about the spiritual gifts, brother. I'm like you, I'm like pastor on that. I think that, man, sometimes we weigh in so much in that stuff and we're not careful. We hurt ourselves as believers in Christ. He says, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. That is the building up of the church. Edifying. That's to build up the spiritual house. That's to build up other believers. That's to help the Christians be what they ought to be. So we need to be loyal to the church. We need to be loyal in helping to build the church. We need to take heed in loyalty to the church. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Speak to the preachers here, amen. But he says, and to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That doesn't just stop at the pastor. That goes to every one of us. Do our part. Do our part as believers in Jesus Christ. Don't quit. I've had people to say, I don't pray for them anymore. I gave up. Don't give up. Matt, you know what, pastor? I have people pray for me. Before I went to prison, I had people praying for me. I had people praying for me while I was in prison that I'd get saved. I had people praying for me when I got out of prison the first time that I would get saved. And I heard the gospel, and I heard the gospel, and I heard the gospel, and I heard the gospel over and over and over and over and over again. And then one day, I got saved. But you know what? Every one of them prayed for me. And you know what? Many of them are still praying for me. Mm-hmm. Because now they know, see, I'm a Buckeye. I'm a nut. But I am screwed onto the right bolt, amen. Well, don't quit. Just don't quit. We were talking about retirement today. What did you say, Pastor, that preacher said about retirement? When's the time to retire?
When every voice has heard.
When every voice is heard. When it's all done, when there's nothing else. Well, when's that going to be? When you die or you go to heaven, one of the two, amen, hallelujah. You preach till Jesus comes, and we share it till Jesus comes. Then departed Barnabas in Acts 11:25-26 to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. A whole year. Man. And taught much people. And his disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. But a whole year, they didn't quit. They didn't give up. They didn't get in there and say, oh, that guy don't like me. Oh, that hurt my feelings. You know. You know, the true preaching of the Word of God sometimes is going to hurt. Amen? And can I be honest with you? It ought to hurt. But it don't hurt because you're doing right. It hurts because we're not doing right. That's when it hurts. When I hear something and it's bothering me, I've got to search it up. I've got to look it up, brother. Now, somebody's saying it's contrary to the Word of God, I'm not afraid to say the wrong. But where sometimes I've heard things and I think, man, I want to look at that. And I search it, and they were right. But I didn't like it when I heard it. Amen. And there's truth to that. We need to be a supporter and a defender and a loyalist of the local church. I just told a pastor today that I saw a book recently here that said how to solve 50% of all your problems. So I bought two of them. But here's how you solve 100% of all your problems. Amen. Let's be a loyalist. Let's be patriotic to the house of God. Amen. To the things of God as the children of God. Let's pray. Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe tonight, you know, I'm looking at the crowd again. My friend, I know this is just a handful of us, and I know that you probably trust in Christ as your Savior, but I need to ask, are you saved? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure that if you die, that you will go to heaven? I'm sure. I know 100%. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Do you know you're saved? If not, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Anybody know? If not, can I pray for you? My prayer can't save you. Prayer won't save you. And you know, you've heard me say that many, many, many times. You say, Brother Mike, why do you give an invitation? Because I have to. I just have to. Are you saved? And I pray. If not, then I will ask you the second question. Mike, would you just pray for me that I would do my part as a patriot to the local church to the best of my ability to serve God with all my heart. How about right now? I'll raise hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Amen. I see heads shake. I hear hands. I see hands raised. So praise the Lord. Thank you so much for doing that. Would you stand to your feet? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please. And then let me just pray for you. And then we're going to have a short invitation tonight. Father, thank you for these who slip up their hand, Father God. You know their heart. I saw heads shaking. I saw, in a positive way, Father, I saw hands raised, God. You know these children of yours. And I pray, God, that you would have your will and your way accomplished in their wonderful, loving lives. Help them, Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In his name I pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The Lord spoke to your heart. Why don't you slip out and just come to the altar. And whatever it was the Lord spoke to your heart about, just give that to him. Just give it to him. Don't be afraid to come forward in an altar call in a church. Just give it to him. Give it to the Lord.